I am in an undisclosed location for SIBO Clouds Colo. I wanted to take a first eye view of what's going on over here. I want to see if Mark and the guys over there are, you know, up to snuff. I want to make sure everybody's instances are in a good place, which I know they are. But look, I got to eyeball and look for myself. Let's go. So we're in the lounge where, you know, I spend most of my formative time, and I'm here with Dave, and he is from SIBO Cloud, and he's giving me the tour of the facility. I want to ask you some questions. Like, what do you love about SIBO Cloud?
Personally, my favorite thing is the community aspect that we have. We're heavily focused on our users and, you know, they're who we make our product for. So we focus on them, and that's probably my favorite thing about the company is that we really care about them.
Nice. And again, this is not like some commercial I'm shooting for. This is real stuff. I met Dave today. Like, I've talked to him online for a while and are in Slack and what have you. So like, it's been really cool to meet him in the flesh, but like, I just love the employees and the enthusiasm about the company. And it's such a glowing statement about SIBO themselves. And again, the community, they feel very strongly about that. Again, I don't put my name to something unless I'm really, you know, I really am involved and enjoy like what people are doing. And I'm really impressed by SIBO. So thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.
So I am at the co-location. I'm inside now. Dave and I are going to go into the rack. And I'm going to probably be blown away by this. But again, this morning I set up a cluster. And now I want to go and see it. So again, this is SIBO Cloud has just this great technology. But you know, I want to go behind the scenes. I want to see, like, is this bullshit? Is it real? I know it's real. So let's go and do that. Let's go in the room. So this is basically where your like instances are going to sit. You're deploying your Kubernetes. It's going to be on this. So they got NVMe over here. They've got a ton of memory. You know, deployed two cores. And this is, there's literally dozens of this, and they can keep on growing. They can drop ship all of this out. I've never deployed an instance on a public cloud provider and actually been behind the scenes. This is so impressive to me. All right, everyone, I am inside right now. I'm so pumped. Dave, how long did it take you all to like rack this and get this going?
Well, it took us about 2 days to get it racked up, boxed up, and shipped over here, and about 20 minutes to set up and provision it.
I am astounded by this. Like, I used to run data centers like this, and this is literally, this rack would have been about a whole, like, row of stuff. This is incredible. So Dave just pointed out to me that the instance that I deployed this morning is right here. Incredible. Like, that's the beauty of, like, SIBO. It's like, you're behind the scenes. Everything's so transparent. And they're using technology that is so bleeding edge and amazing. I am so impressed with SIBO. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. This is my guy here. This is Mark Boost. He's a co-founder and CEO of SIBO Cloud. SIBO Cloud's awesome. Look, like, I have seen it all. I'm the jaded, like, I've seen it all, whatever. And I think, honestly, like, you want a dev instance, you want to spin this thing up so quick. Community's fantastic. I don't want to sell anymore. Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dan. I'm pleased to be here. Been an avid fan of the show for a while now, and to be on the show is a great pleasure.
Same here. So I want to talk to you, like, before you were at, you know, SIBO Cloud, I want to know, like, the journey, man. And did we start on our Sinclair computer? Like, what did we do? I want to talk about early Mark Boost. Little Marky, what's a little Marky doing?
So I guess I started my kind of computer journey when my dad brought home in the early 80s, maybe. Well, sorry, mid 80s. Brought home some computers, some personal computers. He was doing some programming himself, And I showed an interest in that. I think the first computer he brought home was a Tandy TRS-80. And he, you know, he was always keen to show me how things worked. So he's very technical. He has kind of an engineering mind as well. Likes to kind of, you know, build cars and strip down engines, that kind of stuff. So I was brought up around that sort of culture. So he gave
what
me the
part,
first.
What part of England are you from, if you don't mind me asking?
Just outside London. So yeah, just north of London, about 20 miles north.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt.
That's all right, no worries. So yeah, he showed me the ropes in the early days. And this is like an 8-year-old, so you know, you don't pick up things really quickly at that point. But he always showed an interest in that. And I've quickly kind of latched on to just playing with them, I guess, and just messing about as you do when you're a youngster with computers. And then he brought home modems, and then that was what really got me excited. The fact that you could, you know, connect to someone else's computer. That was a step change for me. From there, I started to research about bulletin boards, you know, way before the internet was, you know, created really, not necessarily in its current form. And I set up my own bulletin board where, using some software called a PC board, people could dial into my computer essentially. They could sort of, you know, leave a message. It wasn't like email. You know, you had to kind of leave a message, disconnect. Someone else would connect and collect the message. There was some games that you could download, lots of freeware, that kind of stuff. So I just messed around for a number of years with bulletin boards and that kind of stuff. And that's really how I got started. That's
incredible. And again, everybody, before we had the internet, we all had BBSs and AOLs and all those other fun things. You dial into a computer and you did, you know, magic. That's how you interacted with folks back in the Stone Age. And so now at post BBS, we're like, hey, we're going to probably go to university at this point or whatever. We're going to do our next step. What I want to know how we got to SIBO. Like, you can't just leave me at the BBS. Is not, yeah. You know, how do we get to SIBO, right?
Yeah, well, it's not your traditional journey. So I was still, yeah, messing around with computers, obviously at school at that time. And at the age of 15, I decided I wanted to kind of pursue a motor racing career. And so a little bit different. And you know, the way that kind of starts for most people is go-karting as it's known. And so I remember going to my dad and saying, like, I want to do some karting. I was always interested in cars. I want to do karting. And he said, no, it's way too complicated, expensive, all this kind of stuff. He said, I'm not doing it. I said, oh, please, you know. He said, well, if you're going to do this, then you're going to have to save up your own money. You're going to have to work through the school holidays, you know, with odd jobs and things like that. And you're going to have to buy your own first cart, an engine and everything. And then I might take you. So I remember working a whole summer when I was at school, just doing whatever I could to make some money, you know, cleaning cars, you know, just asking friends for jobs and helping out people. And then I managed to save up about £800 and this go-kart, this but I had my eye on a second-hand go-kart was about £1,200. So I was a little bit short on the money. So my birthday was coming up and I said to everyone, all I want is money. Don't give me any gifts. I just want money. and then they contributed to, you know, I got, you know, the old £10 from an aunt and £20 from an uncle and that kind of stuff. I ended up about £100 short. And I think my dad saw that I'd made all that effort to try and do that. So he put in the last £100 and then I went and managed to buy this go-kart. And off I went to a racetrack and said, look, I want, you know, I wanted to start racing. And it kind of went from there. I did really well. I started exactly the same time, almost to the week that Lewis Hamilton started racing at the same track. So he was 8 years old, but I was 15 years old because you can start from as young as 8 and most people do. So I was quite late to that. And you know, we're both beginners. He was running what's called a cadet class, which is, you know, up to about 11 years old. And I was in the junior class, which was like from 11 to 16. And I sort of worked my way up and sort of competed at various different events and things. And within about 3 years, I finished second in the British Championships and won numerous races and things like that. And then progressed into car racing from there. So it went from that kind of that early stage, I just want to go, you know, buy a first kart and do that to become in a bit of a career for me, to be a Formula One driver. That was the ultimate aim. And so I moved into car racing, and then the first year of car racing, I managed to win the championship that I was in. I then stepped up another level, and I finished, I think it was about, I think it was full fat season, I had about 35 drivers in that class. But we were doing this on a shoestring budget. This was me and my dad, with his, going back to his engineering kind of days. He was the mechanic and I was the driver. But we were competing against, you know, big teams that are set up where you go and pay for the drive. But we were what's called a privateer team. And we were taking a lot of the, you know, the big teams. And then it started to get a bit serious. So it got to the point where we couldn't be father, son, sort of privateer anymore. We had to, you know, go to a team. So I stepped up into a Formula called Formula Renault. Unfortunately, the team we went with weren't competitive. The car wasn't competitive. And halfway through the season, we kind of pulled out of that. And then quite luckily, I got offered a race in Formula 3, which a lot of drivers go at that time from Formula 3 straight into Formula 1. People like Jenson Button did that. And I then did a few races in Formula 3. Unfortunately, I didn't finish the race because I was thrown in the deep end. No pre-season, no practice, and was kind of just, you know, thrown in a, you know, fast car and had to kind of almost qualify without any testing. And I qualified really good, high up the grid. And in one of the races, I managed to qualify second on the grid for the race, but then came to the race and then, you know, crashed out and there was a collision and things like that. So, and then it got, after those four races, essentially run out of budget, because it gets quite expensive at that level. You need a big sponsor. So I didn't have the budget really to pursue it any further. And at that point I had to sort of step away from motor racing and sort of step back, really, and then decide what I wanted to do in my life going forward. You know, I'm 19 years old at this point, I think. You know, I haven't gone to university. You know, I've missed that because I pursued this motor racing career. And I had a big decision to make. And I remember being, I'm not really an emotional guy at all. I'm very, very kind of level and even keeled all the time. But that night I was told, really, you know, by my dad, really saying, you know, we haven't got the money to finance this anymore. You know, we're going to have to call it a day. There was no sponsor or anything like that. I remember crying my eyes out that day. It's probably the only time I've cried my eyes out in my life. I went to bed early that night, you know, woke up the next morning and say, look, I've got to decide what I'm going to do with my life going forward, because that was my career. So that's when I stepped back to the, you know, to all the computers and things. I fell back on that knowledge from those days, those early days of playing with bulletin boards and things, and decided I want to start a business. Now, this was a great time because it was 1999. This is when the internet was just, you know, really starting to kick off. So it was a natural step to say, the internet's coming. Maybe I should do something on the internet.
This month's podcast sponsor is StormForge. StormForge's Kubernetes performance testing and optimization platform is the easiest way to ensure your applications behave the way you want them to, while cutting out unnecessary resources and time spent manually tuning. In alignment with this, StormForge is asking for your help reducing the amount of unused cloud resources, making both a financial and environmental impact in the world today. We want you to help make that impact with us. So visit https://stormforge.io/podcast. That's StormForge. .io/POPCAST to learn more about how you can help erase cloud waste and take the cloud waste pledge. While you're there, try out the free tier, the machine learning backed service, to start saving resources and getting better performance today.
I want to ask you a question though on the formula. We're going to get into this, right? But I want to ask you a question on the, like, formula, just racing in general. What life lessons do you think you got out of that? Like, again, I know the perseverance thing, because look, you're doing this on a shoestring, it's you and your dad. Did you pull any, like, life's lessons out of that?
Yeah, lots. So
give me three. I get that's a pretty nebulous question, but give me like three.
Yeah, I think competitive nature, I think for business, for me, has been really important. I've taken that from the motor racing. I'm big into sports anyway. I've played loads of sports as a kid, and that's the way I kind of treat business as well, is that whatever I do, I want to be the best I can be at that. So I take that into the way that I run a business, and I want it to be the best business. You know, I want to run it in the best way and prove myself at what I do. So that's one thing from that. I think I was a really shy kid, like super shy, shyest kid around. And the most racing also taught me a lot about dealing with media, and you know, public speaking. And I still have that shyness now to a certain degree, but I kind of hide it well sometimes.
Oh, Mark, it's just us talking. Don't worry about the other 4,000 people that may be watching this. It's all right.
But I think that's a nice message as well, you know, to say that, you know, in a way, there's been a shy kid that has done a lot of things in their career now and is able to overcome a lot of those obstacles and things as well. And I hope that's good for other people to hear and know that they've been in that similar place. There's a way out of this, and you can kind of work at it gradually, and you improve bit by bit. You take advice from people and grow as a person as you progress. So yeah, there's lots of lessons there. Some great times and some great people met. You know, it's all about teamwork. You can imagine when you're motor racing, there's lots of people involved, engineers and mechanics and people. It takes a team to bring a competitive car together. It's not just the driver. You have to work with the engineers and you know, tune the car in the right way and set it up in the right way. So a lot of those things can be taken into business.
Yep. And so... okay, so we got done with motor racing. I want to talk about, you know, what, again, what's the next step evolution before SIVO? We're gonna get into SIVO, kids. We're gonna get into it. Okay. But let's talk about that.
Yeah, so the first business I started was LCN. And before we, it's worth just going back slightly before we get to SIVO, because that does play, have a part to play. LCN was a hosting company. It started out with domain names. It's a bit like a GoDaddy type company. And so we sold domain names in the early days, and then it was shared hosting. And then we started to launch some VPSs and SSL certificates and all that kind of stuff. And that grew over a period of 18 years to become the fifth largest hosting company in the UK. And I guess, you know, there was a certain point where it was getting really hard to compete in that space with some, you know, huge companies like GoDaddy and others that we were competing against. So it felt like I did 18 years of that, and we'd taken it as far as we could. So we decided to exit that business and sell that to a larger provider in that space. But I guess a year before that, we started planning the next step. What did we want to do next? And that's really where SIVO came in, because my comfort zone and a lot of the team that I've kept, a lot of the team in SIVO are the ex-LCN guys. We've kept some of the best people. And, you know, we're used to building scale business, a volume business in the hosting industry. You know, but the one thing with LCN is that it always felt like we didn't have the resources and the finances to be an innovator. You know, we were always a follower. We were always behind everyone else. So when it came to SIVO, we wanted to be an innovator. We wanted to be different. We wanted to try and challenge the market and do things differently. And also we wanted to do it on a global scale. LCN was more UK centric. So when SIVO came along, it's LCN 2.0. It's kind of on a global scale. We're doing things, you know, at the cutting edge and, you know, Kubernetes, and we're pushing the limits. We're trying to differentiate our offering and be a leader rather than a follower in that respect. So that's kind of where we got to.
What you build and where it takes you shouldn't be limited by your database. CockroachDB helps developers build and scale apps with fewer obstacles, more freedom, and greater efficiency, so you can forget about the database and trust that it just works. Kubernetes-friendly, open source, and indestructible, CockroachDB makes it easier to build and scale apps. It gives companies the freedom to serve customers anywhere, and it's backed by world-class documentation and excellent dedicated support. Discover CockroachDB, the most highly evolved distributed SQL database on the planet. Kubernetes native and built from the ground up to help companies of all sizes, including Bose, Comcast, and Equifax, scale fast, survive anything, and thrive anywhere. Sign up for a free 30-day trial and get a free t-shirt at cockroachlabs.com/podcast. That's cockroachlabs.com/podcast. So let's talk about TiVo now. All right. So we had the DLCN thing. It's like, look, and I truly, truly believe this. And everyone, the beginning of this, you're going to see a video of me at the data center and you'll see, like, I tested this place. I was like, look, if you're going to sponsor me, I want to know everything about you. But I've spent so much time with Mark and team before this. And just like, I was part of this, the Cube 100, right? Like, you know, I was part of this, group and just testing things out. And Mark and I have talked for months. I'm like, what you all are building is what I think there's an absolute need. And what you all do is it's created for developers. It's by developers. It's the easiest, most cost-effective way to deploy Kubernetes. I would absolutely agree. And here's my example. Example is sometimes I need to spin up instances quickly. Look, I can do that in other cloud providers. I have Terraform. I have, you know, all these things that I need to do. If I just need to, just from a developer perspective, just kind of look at a latest release of Kubernetes and try to integrate with Flux or Falco or Argo CD or some of the other things that are offered in the marketplace. Minute 30, everyone. Like, no joke, I had a cluster up within a minute 30. Blows my mind. And you'll see in the video, I'm holding the blade that my instance like might be on. I mean, that's the whole point is, but also the community in terms of the Cube 100, I'm going to sell it for you, Mark, because I love it so much. It literally is just a wonderful community. Siam, Kai, you know, everyone over there is just phenomenal people. But like, I wanted you to tell me, what was the problem that you all were trying to solve with TiVo when we started?
I think the key thing for us is it's been one of the values that we've always had since I started the first business is the simplicity element. I think that is absolutely key. And we build that into one of our core values. Things don't need to be difficult. And I think in lots of different industries, we overcomplicate things. So I think that's core to what we're about. And it's that developer experience. And that's our mission really is to simplify that developer experience and make it a lot easier, more predictable as well in terms of the billing and things that is, you know, overcomplicated with lots of providers. That speed, that agility as well is really crucial for us because our target market is developers. You know, people don't want to hang around waiting for things to spin up. You know, if you want to get started on a project, you want to get started on it. So for us, it's kind of combining a lot of these things and it all comes back to that developer experience. And that's our goal, to have the slickest, easiest, quickest developer experience of any cloud provider.
And it shows again. I mean, I did a Twitter post and I'll put a link to it. I literally had an instance between a minute and 30. I had Falco running within three. I mean, it's unheard of. But also, like, again, for your workloads, hey, I just want to, you know, spin something up. I just want to understand what's going on with a specific technology when a sandbox. I have a talk I need to do. I really would, you know, can use TiVo Cloud. But the control plane that you all have built is just phenomenal. I mean, and this is the thing, when you're going to see in the beginning, I was talking to Dave Fogle and we had a real good talk. I was like, I asked him point blank. I'm like, why, you know, what, you know, he was so enthusiastic. Like, your employees are so enthusiastic about working at TiVo Cloud and, you know, you're bringing in a talent and all of that. I think it's wonderful. And Dave is a good example. This guy a couple of years ago was homeless. He told me this. It was so fucking, pardon my French, it was so moving to me. And he literally was like, Mark and the team are one of the most wonderful people that I've ever worked with. And there's nothing you can comment to that fact, but it's just like, I just want to understand, like, you built this culture to be very accepting and all of those things. Like, Alejandro's another person on your team. Like, tell me, like, is that something you all set out to do when you started TiVo Cloud?
In some ways, it's happened quite organically, but also going back to, you know, some of the history with some of our other businesses that we've always valued employees. We've always given back, you know, where we can. We've tried to create good benefit packages. We try to be flexible working, all that kind of stuff. I think with Sivo, we decided quite early that we wanted to make it a community-focused business and this community to be central to that. And I mean, you've been inside our Slack community. It's very, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of activity. There's people helping each other. It's actually gone past our wildest dreams, you know, how well people have received Sivo, the way that they integrate with the other users, the way they interact with us. We give back, they give back to us, they help each other. And the community has really helped shape the product. We have the suggestions area within our main UI. And we genuinely promise to develop the features that people ask for. We've had over 4,000 beta testers during the beta phase. We have taken all of that beta feedback seriously and we've built it back into the product. And coming back to your question, I think that's how we've discovered some of these employees. It's through our community. Alejandro, David, they joined as beta testers. Cyan, the same. He joined as a beta tester. And there's been others as well. Amit, recently. We're hiring people from our community because we're respecting what they're providing to us. And, you know, we're giving back by hiring them and the people that look after us, we're looking after. And the story with David, yeah, it's a fantastic story in the way that he was out of work when we hired him. And he reached out and we just started chatting. And I said, look, we haven't got a role right now, but let's see if we can do something. And it started with, you know what, we just do work a day a week and we pay you a day a week. And he gave back and it was a fantastic, doing some fantastic work. And then we said, well, let's do 2 days, let's do 3 days. And it went from there. And then we hired him full time because he was so great. Alejandro was similar. He started working on our Terraform provider off his own back. You know, we didn't ask him to. We said, you know, they're doing great work. You know, let's hire you. And then we've hired him. And he, you know, the life he has where he lives in Cuba is quite challenging. And so we've actually now got a visa for him. He got that yesterday and he's absolutely over the moon. And he's moving his whole family to the UK and we're going to give him opportunities that maybe he's not had it back in his homeland. So those stories are, for me, is what we're about. And also it's what motivates me now. It's so humbling to see that people are willing to give their time to help us. And, you know, Sivo and myself and the team, we want to give back as well. We want to repay the community and all the help and support that they give us.
And that's the other thing David said. Again, it's wonderful what you all do for your employees. And it's also David said there's a lot of upstream contribution back to, you know, the community from that perspective. I think you all are going to be, you know, this is the week before KubeCon, this is airing. The next week is going to be some announcements. And I think your official launch is May the 4th be with you. So yeah, it's incredible. But I'm going to ask you this. Look, Mark, let's just say this. Let's just work this out. I'm a developer right now. Why do I need Sivo?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's one that we talk about a lot in Sivo. And it's we've been very careful not to directly compete with hyperscalers. You know, there's some great companies out there that do great things, have way bigger budgets than us. And we're not trying to be everything to everyone. So we understand that people will buy from other cloud providers. What we're trying to do is carve out our niche that provides that amazing developer experience, caters for people, beginners, you know, not just experts in Kubernetes, and you know, but there's someone can quickly pick up Sivo, can launch something, maybe they can grab something off our marketplace, use that. They can learn. We've got a section in our site. And we've got some big announcements coming soon around extra kind of training and help and support that we'll give new users. So it's really taken them from, you know, a newbie through that process and becoming a more experienced developer. But it doesn't mean that experienced developers can't use us, because we've got loads that say, we love the experience. It's easy. Why do we want to complicate things? If we want to spin something up quick, I know someone the other day said to us, we're going to demo all of our stuff on SIBO now because it's just so easy to run our demos on, you know, and they're a big enterprise, you know. So there's lots of user cases that also fit our sort of simplicity and the speed and agility of the way that we work.
I mean, you nailed it with the SIBO CTL, really easy for you to deploy. It's like one step, but it's also very intuitive because I think, again, you employ it. That was part of the beta, if I'm using the problem, the kings, you know, it's that, like, you got developers that do this on a day to day. Like, I want to build this thing from scratch to make it so it's real easy for me to go. And that like permeates down. And that's why, like, early on, I was like, wow, I really like this. But, you know, like, I'm using it for, like, SushiCon, for instance. I'm doing a talk and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to use it because it's K3S and it's, you know, it's simple for me to deploy and I can demo what I need to demo. So I think it's fantastic. Again, check us out. We'll have a link in the bottom as well. SIBO.com/podcast, PopCast. Okay. That's all said and done. Now, Mark, I want to tell you about something. This has impacted me, Mark. And this is why, like, dude, I'm such a fan. I'm a fan of you. Like, we're friends at this point, right? And so I get this note. This was near the holidays. It's like, hey, Pop, on the Slack. Hey, man, have him raising a glass to you. Right. And so I was so moved by that. I was like, look, it's the little things with me, man. I'm like an M&M. I got the hard candy shell outside, but I'm pretty, you know, I'm like milk chocolate on the inside. And I was like, that's an awesome thing. And it's like, you know, so let's talk a little bit about Scotch, man. Like, do you have a favorite?
Yeah. A friend introduced me to Scotch, I guess about 5 or 6 years ago. And he was into Macallan's. For some reason, and I guess, I don't know, just because he introduced me to Scotch and he said, Macallan's the best Scotch in his opinion. I'm sure there's lots of good Scotches, and there are, but I kind of latched on to Macallan. So I kind of buy quite a few Macallans along the way. You know, my light's just gone out in here. It's on our sensor. I'm gonna have to wave my arms for a minute to put the light back on.
It's all right. We could color correct it. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Oh, it's not coming on. There we go. We're back on.
We're keeping that in, people. I'm not editing that.
I got into some Japanese whiskies, which are really good. And Dinesh, our director of innovation, he's into his bourbons as well. So he's got me on those, and he likes an old fashioned, and he makes his own bitters and things. And he gave me some the other day and said, try this. And, you know, so there's a few of us that like our whiskey. So, yeah, it's a passion occasionally as well. So I think, yeah, the occasion you're speaking of, I think we had a big announcement that day, and I was kind of raising a glass and just saying, I know you like your Scotch as well.
Appreciate you, man. And again, hopefully, like, Pop's going to leave the basement next year. I will leave the basement. And when I do that, again, after visiting various data centers, you know, it's making sure that Mark's on task over here for everybody. But he is. His team's amazing. Definitely going to come to UK and raise a glass with you, hopefully, in real life. But so I'm going to ask you my last question here. And that's, in your whole career, what work are you most proud of?
Yeah, it's very easy to say something like, you know, LCN grew to the fifth largest hosting company, which was a good achievement, you know, in terms of it was all organic growth. We had no investment. It was started on a shoestring. You know, the offices that we had were terrible. You know, they were a mess in the early days, and we had secondhand furniture and all that kind of stuff. We had no heating, and we had little temporary heaters and things that we were plugging in to try and heat the place up. And then growing organically, you know, through that period and to exit the business, you know, was a big success, and we did very well out of that. But that's not really what I call success. You know, it was great. And in terms of the, you know, we made X amount of money or whatever, but what gets me going is the people and the fact that along that journey, we were able to give lots of people opportunities, and most of the people stayed with us for that journey. And a lot of people that started as, you know, junior people in our customer support team even became directors and senior people within that company. So seeing people's careers develop and stay with the company, who are now, a lot of them are working for SIBO as well, and give people opportunities is what what really gets me going. And I suppose this comes back to Alejandro and David and things like that. I think that's what I'm most proud of. And I think for me in business, I want to have more of a legacy to look back on and say, I helped those people. And, you know, or I built that business to, you know, be a successful business. But look what it did for people. You know, look what it did for its users. Wasn't that a great product we produced? You know, weren't we ethical in the way we ran the company, the way we gave back? You know, they're the things that make me proud, and not to say we had revenue of X. You know, wasn't it great? We made lots of money. I think it's about giving other people opportunities. And one of the values of Sivo is about sharing prosperity. You know, we've given most of the staff shares recently, you know, the sort of founding staff, if you like. They weren't actually the founders, but they were the people that have helped us get to this kind of launch point. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, growing together, not having that large disparity between the sort of exec level pay, you know, to the newcomers and people like that, and growing ethically and that kind of stuff. So that's what I want to kind of look back on and tell my grandkids one day, is that we built a great business. The users loved it. The staff loved to work there. And I'm proud of what I've done to do that. So that's kind of, we're kind of partway through that journey. So maybe I've not answered your question about what I'm most proud of, but I know we've done lots of good things so far that I'm proud of, you know, in helping people.
So when we do this in the next, and when we do this again in the UK, we'll do a follow-up and see how we did on this. But I have nothing but faith in you all. I mean, it's an amazing product. It's amazing service. It's amazing community behind it. But, you know, then again, what I'll say to you today is we came and saw the data center. We talked to Mark. We heard about his journey from indie racing to like being like the fifth largest, provider in the UK, all the way to Sivo right now. And again, the sky's the limit for you all. And I'm so proud to be associated with you all, because I love the project and I love the community. So thank you so much, Mark, for being on the podcast.
Thank you. We enjoyed it.